Hey everyone, welcome to PMHAN Podcast. This episode we are discussing key roles and responsibilities of psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners. Psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners, PMHNPs, lead interdisciplinary teams, drive healthcare reform, and apply evidence-based practice. They utilize reflective practice to enhance clinical reasoning, resolve conflicts through negotiation and mediation, and employ research to inform care. PMHNPs must critically appraise evidence, implement and evaluate changes, disseminate findings, and uphold ethical standards in research to ensure quality, safety, and patient-centered outcomes. Let's begin by discussing the modern leadership expectations for psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners. Dr. Anna, the Institute of Medicine, emphasizes that nurses should be catalysts for transforming healthcare. What does this leadership look like within interdisciplinary teams?
In today's landscape, PMHNPs are not just caregivers, they're full partners in healthcare delivery. This means actively guiding interdisciplinary teams, advocating for systemic redesign, and ensuring that both patient care and organizational goals are met. Leadership here involves strategic vision and hands-on collaboration.
That's a significant shift from traditional roles. How do nurse practitioners balance team monitoring with decisive action, especially in complex mental health settings?
It's about dynamic situational assessment. Leaders must constantly seek information, analyze team dynamics, and interpret evolving needs. Sometimes, stepping back to monitor is prudent. Other times, direct intervention is required to resolve conflicts or clarify goals. Effective PMHNPs adapt fluidly between these modes.
Transitioning from the broader leadership perspective, I'd like to unpack how decision-making models guide team leadership. What frameworks are used to decide when and how to intervene in team processes?
A widely recognized model asks leaders to consider three core decisions. Should I monitor or act? Should my intervention address tasks or relationships? And should I focus internally with the team or externally with the broader system? This structured approach helps leaders target interventions for maximum impact.
Could you provide an example of how this model operates in practice, especially when dealing with unclear goals or interpersonal conflict?
Certainly. Suppose team goals are ambiguous here. The leader might intervene internally to clarify objectives and boost cohesion. If there's interpersonal tension, the leader may mediate between members to restore civility and performance. This flexibility is key to fostering effective team outcomes.
Let's delve into reflective practice. How does systematic reflection help psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners improve their clinical reasoning and decision-making?
Reflective practice is essentially a structured process for learning from experience. By recounting and analyzing clinical encounters, often using established models, practitioners gain deeper self-awareness and critical thinking skills. This process links theory to practice and helps identify areas for improvement.
Can you describe how this might play out in a real-world scenario? Say, after a challenging patient interaction?
Absolutely. After a difficult session, a PMHNP might use reflection to dissect their emotional responses, the patient's behaviors, and what interventions succeeded or fell short. This narrative approach helps uncover biases, refine strategies, and ultimately enhances patient care.
Another vital skill is managing conflict within teams. How do PMHNPs approach conflict resolution, negotiation, and maintaining professional civility in high-pressure environments?
Conflict is inevitable, especially when values or interests clash. PMHNPs employ a spectrum of strategies. Mediation, where a neutral third party facilitates constructive dialogue. Negotiation, where parties collaborate to reach a win-win outcome. And if needed, arbitration, where an impartial decision is imposed. Civility remains the foundation throughout.
How does promoting civility directly impact patient outcomes or team performance?
Research consistently links professional civility to better morale, lower burnout, and improved care quality. Teams that respect diverse perspectives foster psychological safety, which is essential for innovation and accurate clinical decision-making.
Building on that, critical thinking is fundamental for PMHNPs. How is critical thinking defined, and what role does it play in evidence-based clinical decisions?
Critical thinking involves a deliberate, questioning approach to knowledge, always probing assumptions and seeking evidence. In clinical practice, this means evaluating conflicting recommendations, weighing research quality, and integrating patient values. It's a metacognitive process that sharpens self-awareness and enhances diagnostic accuracy.
Could you give an example of critical thinking in action during a challenging mental health diagnosis?
Certainly. Imagine a patient presents with overlapping symptoms of anxiety and bipolar disorder. A PMHNP uses critical thinking to parse the evidence, consult guidelines, and engage the patient in shared decision-making, ensuring a tailored, evidence-based treatment plan.
Let's clarify a common point of confusion. What distinguishes research utilization from evidence-based practice for nurse practitioners?
Research utilization specifically refers to applying findings from individual studies to inform practice changes. Evidence-based practice is broader. It integrates the best available research, clinical expertise, and patient preferences. Both aim to bridge the gap between research and real-world care, but EBP is more comprehensive.
How do PMHNPs systematically implement evidence-based interventions amidst a flood of new studies?
They use structured processes like the PICO framework to frame clinical questions, rigorously search for relevant studies, critique the evidence, and synthesize findings before making decisions. This ensures interventions are both effective and aligned with patient needs.
Could you walk us through the PICO method and how it structures clinical inquiry for psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners?
Of course. PICO stands for Patient, Population, Intervention, Comparison, and Outcome. For example, to evaluate a new therapy for adolescent depression, a PMHNP might ask, in teens with depression, P, does cognitive behavioral therapy, I, versus medication alone, C, lead to better symptom relief, O?
How does framing questions this way improve the research and practice connection?
It sharpens the search for relevant evidence, facilitates precise literature reviews, and supports clinical decisions that are both scientifically grounded and patient-centered. The result is more targeted, measurable, and impactful practice change.
Once evidence is gathered, PMHNPs must evaluate its quality. How do evidence hierarchies assist in selecting the best research for practice?
Hierarchies rank studies by methodological rigor. At the top are systematic reviews and meta-analyses of randomized controlled trials, RCTs, which offer the strongest evidence. Further down are single RCTs, non-randomized studies, qualitative research, and finally, expert opinion. This gradient helps PMHNPs prioritize reliable results.
Are qualitative and quantitative hierarchies assessed differently? And why does this matter?
Yes, qualitative evidence emphasizes depth and context, while quantitative focuses on numerical strength. Both have unique value. Combining them provides a richer, more holistic understanding, crucial for addressing complex psychiatric issues where numbers and narratives intersect.
Let's turn to statistics, which can seem daunting. How do descriptive and inferential statistics each inform the work of PMHNPs?
Descriptive statistics summarize basic features like the mean age of patients or symptom severity scores, helping practitioners quickly grasp data trends. Inferential statistics, such as tests or ANOVAs, go further by determining if observed differences or relationships are statistically significant, guiding evidence-based decisions.
Can you provide a practical example of using these statistics in a mental health setting?
Certainly. Suppose a clinic tests two anxiety treatments. Descriptive stats reveal average score reductions, while inferential tests confirm if the difference is likely due to treatment rather than chance essential for justifying practice changes.
Finally, let's address the ethical dimensions of research. What role do institutional review boards play in protecting psychiatric research participants?
IRBs are guardians of participant welfare. They minimize risks, ensure fair selection, require informed consent, and review adverse events. By enforcing comprehensive safety and data monitoring, they uphold ethical standards crucial given the vulnerability of many psychiatric populations.
How can PMHNPs ensure they're upholding these ethical principles in their own research or practice change projects?
They should rigorously follow IRB protocols, commit to transparency, and prioritize participant autonomy. Ongoing education and ethical reflection ensure that even in pursuit of innovation, the rights and dignity of patients remain paramount. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. Check our podcast for other exciting episodes. Until next time, bye.